Sports talk conversations with a good laugh mixed in. This is the Sports Talk with Bedford and Ashby podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
I'm Mike Hebert, owner of Cantex Roofing and Construction. Every day is game day, and we'll get it right when it comes to your roofing, construction, windows, and mirrors. Call Cantex Roofing and Construction today. Together, we are one serving you.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Welcome to Sports Talk with Thetford and Ashby. I'm David Thetford. That's Gary Ashby. This is Reggie Dabbs. He is here in the studio with us. He's in Lubbock, Texas, and he's a Dallas Texan. He's a Dallas
Cowboy. I'm a Dallas Cowboy.
He moved to Dallas 3 years ago, and he don't even remember where he used to live. That's all he remembers is Texas.
Where were you, Louisiana?
No, I was in Fort Myers, Florida.
Florida.
But he played ball at Tennessee.
Go Vols. Come on. I'm on the same one.
We're not against the Vols.
All he talks about is Dallas now. That's all he talks about. He didn't even mention his past.
Hey, I'm going to start it off. The Cowboys are going to the Super Bowl this year.
No, come on now.
They might.
See,
they might.
Thank you.
They'll get some good seats if they go.
History would tell us they're probably not, but they could.
I have faith.
You do.
There you go.
Well, you're a good man. And he's in Lubbock again. He was here in September of 2021, and we did for the Ultimate Game, which Elisa Sizemore puts together. But he went to schools, went to 14 that year, and this year we went to nine. It's so fun to watch him talk to these high school kids. They just eat it up, don't they? It's got to be such a charge just to watch.
It's fun. We have a good time. It's really good.
It is. Who won? So he goes to all the schools, then he comes around and he says,
"Yeah, we play a game in every school, and then at the end of it all, I pick one of the nine that was the best audience, and we have a winner."
Oh wow!
Plainview
High School. They were awesome.
Brent Reagan.
And they were last second getting on the list.
They killed it.
They did.
You know why you went to Plainview? Because of Sports Talk with Thetford and Ashby.
You know what? I went to a lot of schools because of Sports Talk. So it's like, it was great.
Well, because Brent Reagan listened to the show last week, and we talked about you being in.
Okay.
He called me and he says, "Hey, are they booked up with us?" I said, "Here's Thetford's number. Call and see if they
are." That is awesome. It was great. All the schools are great.
And they really
just
were.
Your city, your education system, they're doing a really good job. I know they probably get a lot of junk on people, but, man, standing in front of kids, you're a stranger, and the respect and the honor, they listened, they leaned in. It was just incredible. So your educators are doing a good job.
And yesterday they went to Littlefield. I didn't go to the Littlefield one, but then they went to Plainview. Then we drove to Brownfield. Then we drove back to Idaloo. I wouldn't plan it that way.
No, listen. And when it comes to traveling, we're not going to let him book our tickets, okay?
I didn't want to do that.
At a certain point during the day, you go, "Are we about done?"
Yeah. It was
awesome.
Did
you have enough of David after about two or 3 hours?
We just used a tank of gas.
Yeah.
Who else was in the car with y'all?
Well, I was by myself. He was with Elisa.
He went ahead to make sure everything was set up.
Oh, but, and Chris did. Chris, Elisa's husband, Chris Sizemore, who works here.
Yeah.
Who's the guy
Chris,
that makes,
and he did
he makes
sound.
Everything. Oh, he
oh,
makes everything.
Man,
work.
He's something else.
No, he is.
It was really good.
But how did last night go? They started
last
the ultimate
great.
Game.
Last night was great. There was a great crowd. It was a lot of people. And they say more people are coming today. And it's all day today, and it'll be good.
We'll talk more about that. Gary, why don't you tell us about who was on the show last week?
All right, let's get the old show started. We sort of jumped right in the middle, didn't we?
We did.
Last week we had Wes Kitley. Hey, the week before we had Wes Kitley. And today,
we're going to have
Wes Kitley.
He's at the National Indoor Championship.
He's in Boston. Oh, he's up there in Boston.
We got a chance to win it. take me in.
Cool. Yeah, and yesterday started off good enough that we still feel like we got a chance to win it. And some good things happened to Northern Arizona negatively.
Yeah.
Unless you're for Northern Arizona, then they weren't so good.
We're not.
But we also had Trent Petrione, one of the main guys with baseball in Lubbock and West Texas. And you know, baseball in Lubbock and West Texas, it doesn't get much better than West Texas and Lubbock when it comes to baseball. We had Craig Snyder, the softball coach. They kicked BYU's behind.
They beat them 15-0 to open Big 12 play.
Wow.
And BYU's got like a really good record.
Yeah. BYU's not – yeah, they are sort of a softball school. Or they were until yesterday. Now they're thinking about dropping the program. But then we had Robert Giovanetti on. He spent the last hour with us. I remember it like it was yesterday. And We always enjoy Gio.
Well, and we had Gio on. You know, we'd had the trouble at the Texas basketball game with our fans and throwing stuff on the floor. And
yeah, you made the news.
Yeah, I know it. Well, we're trying to get them more accurate. They didn't hit anybody. Yeah. So we've been practicing.
We're going to have tryouts. You know what? I think that is a good thing that we didn't hit anybody.
Oh, my gosh.
So I think,
if we had hit
somebody, I think
somebody,
we did well.
That'd been serious.
I think we did a really good job of not hitting anybody.
That would. I heard some people that were in the stands got hit because the people couldn't throw it far enough to get it to the floor. They're going, hey, I'm with y'all.
So, anyway, this week we're going to have Reggie.
Yes.
Reggie Dabbs is going to be on. Chris Ryburn, state champion Chris Ryburn.
From Midland Christian.
Midland Christian down in Midland. So you folks down in Midland, you're representing. Then we're going to have the voice of the University of Texas baseball, Keith Moreland. He ought to be in a good mood after last night.
They beat us 22-8.
I wasn't going to say nothing.
22-8.
In a mere 4 hours. Let me tell you
it
what.
It only took 4 hours.
It only
freezing.
Took 4 hours. And while we're talking about that, I read a deal this week that, you know, you talk about frostbite, the Kansas City game, the Kansas City Chiefs game, frostbite, and everybody just laughs. You know, they got cold, frostbite. People are having their limbs, their digits and stuff cut off.
Oh, they
are? Because of the frostbite they got at the Chiefs game. So, if you got frostbite last night at the Tech baseball game, pay attention. And I know you didn't last night. Then, hey, with
Keith. They didn't cut their finger. They didn't have to cut them off, really?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. So, anyway, Keith Moreland. Oh, he was an All-American at Texas. He's many years in the big leagues. And I think he was the Chicago Cubs.
Yeah, it
color
was.
Color guy.
Yeah, I think he was.
And so, anyway.
Where did he play in the big leagues, though?
Oh, he played in a few different places.
Atlanta.
I don't think that
was. I have no idea.
Guess again.
Texas. He didn't play for the Rangers.
No, guess again. Well, we'll ask him.
Yeah,
but
you think he'll remember?
The Phillies and, and all.
I hope so.
And then Mark Griffin, one of our regents out at Texas Tech, is going to bring Keith in, make sure he gets here safely.
But he's former Monterey standout and also a University of Texas standout. Won a national. Get this. Mark Griffin wins a state championship at Monterey. And goes to Texas and wins the national championship. Now, not many people have done that.
That's good.
And is appointed a board of regent at Texas Tech, which that would be right up there with those
other
two.
Not many
people have done that either. So, Griffin, look forward to having Griffin on. He's been on quite a few times. And then I don't think there's anybody else. I thought if we had a few minutes at the end of the show, we might call Scott Wilson because I forgot all about Scott. This is UT's last trip into town, and Scott's been on the show probably.
He's in town, isn't he?
I'm sure he is.
Never misses. This is a guy who goes everywhere they go and watches them play.
He's been to like
like
1,000 straight football games. How many years would that be?
I don't know. It's unbelievable. That'd be,
well, that'd be
probably
a,
older
that'd be
than
100
he is.
Years.
Yeah, it would. 10 games a year.
Not quite 1,000. But he's been to like 800 straight football games.
It's unbelievable.
Baseball games. It's
home
really,
and away. He just goes.
Home and away.
Home and away.
Yeah, that's a fan.
He doesn't miss it. Yeah, it is a fan. But he's a Longhorn fan.
That's a fanatic.
I bet. I wish I'd had him on after the basketball game. He'd have had an opinion about that. We played so bad in that game, and the fans.
We really should have had him on.
The fans were so mad.
And I don't think he was here for the basketball game.
No, he doesn't really.
But he might have been.
He doesn't really follow.
But we might
there's
just,
Chris right there.
We might even just get a wild hair and call him later if we got a little time. But anyway, right now we got Reggie Dabbs.
Come on.
All right.
Bring it on.
Reggie, I got your bio here. Now, you went to the University of Tennessee.
Go Vols, yes.
Go Vols. And they got a good basketball team.
We're doing all right.
Yeah, they're doing all right. Then you ended up in Florida.
Real quick, before we leave the state of Tennessee, you're older than Peyton Manning?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay. He's 60.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Right. I was right after Reggie White.
Okay.
So were
Reggie
you really?
Graduated. I was the next year.
How about that?
So
he's
you
man.
Took his
he's
place.
He's the man.
What position did you play at Tennessee?
D-line.
You
defensive
did?
Defensive line, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say I took his place because he's the man.
Did you make him
he
forget Reggie White?
No. I made him wish he was still there.
Another Reggie, but it ain't the same.
Oh, it's just a little different.
Well, and then moved to Florida, but he's been doing this, and his story, y'all, is absolutely – he doesn't tell all of his story to these kids. Mm-hmm. I think it would blow their minds if they knew all the story. His mother.
Nobody wants to tell all their story.
No, nobody wants to tell all their
story. Nobody wants to tell all
but
their story.
But his story he had three siblings, and mm-hmm. then his mother got pregnant, and they were living in a chicken coop.
Yeah. My mom's husband left because he knew they were going to get evicted on a Wednesday. So Monday, he pretended to go to work, went, took all the money out, and was gone.
Well, if he was going to work regularly, it doesn't seem like they were going to be evicted.
Listen, I'm going to tell you right now, by Wednesday.
Is this your dad we're talking about?
No, not mine. No. Okay. When they came to evict her, she thought they were coming to tell her that her husband has passed away. And then they put it together real quick that she had no idea what was going on. So the sheriff had a farm. His family had a farm with a chicken coop. And he goes, you can stay there. Welfare kick in 7 days. So while they're there in that chicken coop, she ran out of food. And she ended up
chickens.
She ended up sleeping with a man to get food for my brother and sisters. And that's how I was born.
So she'd pay her $20.
$20. So in the legit of it all, I'm nothing but a $20 bill.
Isn't amazing what the Lord can do?
But watch. Look where I'm at today, though.
He talks to more youth than anybody.
I do 1.2 million public school students around the world every year. And this coming year, I'm 60. I look good, though. I tell everybody, black don't crack. Yeah. You know, so I'm like, so you white chocolate. I don't know about him, though. But what I say is all the time is you got to stick around to make it happen. You know, you can't.
Don't give up.
You just can't give up. No matter what it is, no matter what, you got to keep. And there's always dark days and sad times, but you got to fight through those. And there'll be people in your life to help you stand. And I was surrounded by, my mom gave me away to her favorite teacher at school. So I was raised by my mom's English teacher, whose husband was a school janitor. And here I am.
And he didn't have a last name till he was
13.
So he'd go to class that first year in first grade, and all the names were on the desk, and everybody had first, last name, except Reggie.
And when they take attendance, all she would say was Reggie, but everybody else had a first and last name.
Where did you come up with Dabs? Is that the
teacher and the janitor.
There you go. Yeah.
And they were his parents.
Yeah.
And they were older, and, of course, they'd had this deals at school, and his parents were real old. How come my parents?
I'm looking around, man. All my friends' parents are like young and stuff, and I look at my parents. I'm like, what happened to you guys? You know, and of course, you know, I'm asking questions, and it all comes out. But what I found out is there's a fine line between life and sports, and in like seasons like this, you know, you got conference tournaments, you got March Madness, you got the whole thing that makes this whole thing, and people go, why do people get all worked up over this? Because anybody can win.
Yeah.
All you have to do is play the game. And I think that's what's cool, because somebody in the next 4 weeks is going to do something stupid good. Somebody is going to beat a number one seed, and everybody's going to go, because we put that and we compare it to our lives.
Yeah.
We go, dude, if they can do this, we could do this. And
so
everybody,
the analogy is that anybody can win.
Anybody can win. And then now that's on one side of the coin, but on the other side, like in New Jersey, they had a basketball game to play for the state championship, which is played at noon today. A kid tipped a ball in, and they waved the basket off. And the other team won by a point.
The agony.
And they ended up having to go. They went to court yesterday. This morning they're in court. And everybody's like, what do you do? What do you do? One guy said this. He said, I looked at my kids and I said this. If you'd have gotten a rebound with 4 minutes to go, that never would happen. If you'd have made your free throws, that never. And I'm like, wow. I said, he's probably looking for a new job today. But everybody can come up with a reason why or an excuse.
Before you leave that story, that's almost exactly what happened to New Deal yesterday. Not New, New Deal. Home. New Home New yesterday. Home, yeah. New Home.
Did it really?
They got beat one.
97.3 loves New Deal. I want you to know that. Not New Home. I'm sorry, New Home. New Home.
We love New Deal.
New Home got. There was 0.3 seconds left. They throw the ball in. The guy catches it. He sort of gets bumped, and then he shoots it up and in. Well, with 0.3 seconds, you just got to
– it's got to go.
It's almost like a tip.
Tip it. So, anyway, it went in, and they think they won. And they go and they time it over to the deal. They didn't really need to time it because you can't take possession and then fall back and shoot it. So, but – and they said, no, it's no good. You lose. Mm. So –
40-39, I think, was the final.
Wow.
Yeah.
But that's life.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's not whether you win or lose, it's the next move. So it's like it's not that I grew up in the system. It's not that my mom gave me away. It's that next move. It's that next move. So no matter what you're going through today, it's your next move.
Did you stay in contact with your biological mom?
I met my biological mom 10 years ago, for the first time.
What was her name?
Her name was Vera.
She's passed away.
No,
now.
Vera's still alive. Vera's still alive. And I'll let you guys, because I don't really talk much about it, because it's only a 10-year relationship. That's as far as we've gotten. But she will call me 4 times a day.
Wow.
Are you kidding me? Because she has dementia. Now, I still have other siblings. She don't call them.
She calls you, the one she gave away.
Because I'm the biggest regret.
Oh.
And she's trying to make up. And so you know what I do? I pretend she never called.
Yeah,
it's only 3 minutes of my day.
Yeah,
and my other sibling will go, because he has her phone. It's connected to his, and he goes, "Why is she calling you all the time?" And I told him, and he went, "Oh, I get it." He goes, "And you answer every time?" I said, "Well, if I can."
Yeah,
he says, "Do you tell her she just called?" I went, "No."
Yeah,
I'm just gonna let her live her life.
Yeah,
that's good. That's sweet right there.
It's crazy.
I'm telling you.
Man, y'all know how to bring up stuff I wasn't even going to talk about. Look at you two.
you got a lot of wonderful qualities. Is there anything bad about you?
Yeah, tell us some bad stuff.
Now we bring my wife in. She'll start going. She'll start going down the line. I'm telling you right now.
Does she travel with you?
It's every now and then. Yes. Actually, I'm going to do an event. Is it the garage?
Yeah, Cook's Garage.
Cook's Garage on August 3rd. It's a music festival.
Yeah.
And I'm coming in. But I'm going to bring her with me because we're on a cruise that gets done on the 2nd, and I'm going to bring her here. So you'll be able to meet her.
Good.
Yeah. You going to play your sax
at
Cook's?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I don't know all the details to it, but last night, and I went, I'll come. I'll help you out.
We tried to get him to bring his saxophone today, but he said it just costs way too much to,
to have him play.
He went to a smaller saxophone. When he was here in 2021, he had a bigger, nicer.
Nicer.
It's hard to tote around.
She's going
to
be.
Bigger's not nicer.
The one I have now, I named her Little Debbie. It's a soprano, and it's curved, but it's about that big. And
it's easier to tote around when you're traveling.
Yeah. Oh, that and Little Debbie is sweeter than a tasty cake. She's got a nice sound.
Okay.
She does. It's really good.
Well, maybe next time you'll bring Little Debbie.
Oh, come on. Awesome.
And you stay a little longer?
Yeah, let me.
What time you got to be at the deal? Because it's going on right now.
I got a little time. We got time.
We got one more, and we got a call we're going to make. Not for you, but.
Okay, cool.
Anyway, Reggie Dabbs is here. He's been in town. He's been to schools all over this area the last couple of days.
And I got a new hat.
You got a new cap today.
Almost a Cowboys color, not quite.
Yeah. I got a navy one if you'd rather have it.
No, I'm good.
All right. So Reggie will be here. We're going to talk some more about what he's been doing, talk about the ultimate game a little bit that's going on right now at Rock City. And you can be involved if you want to be. Be right back with more Sports Talk with Thetford and Ashby.
Sports Talk conversations with a good laugh mixed in. This is the Sports Talk with Thetford and Ashby podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Lubbock Sports Medicine. Now, Reggie can relate to this. Most people don't know this, but 24 days ago, Reggie Dabbs had his right knee replaced.
I gave my knees for Tennessee.
And he's
out here walking around all over everywhere. Come on, 24 days ago. Now, David Shepard didn't do it at Lubbock Sports Medicine, but he could have, and he'd have walked even sooner. But because
here's the point I think David's trying to make is if you're going around in pain, you don't have to. It's not that big a deal anymore.
So true.
Yeah, and it helped. True. How good is it?
Oh, I woke up feeling better.
I know it.
I should have done it sooner.
Yeah.
Well, Lubbock Sports Medicine, trained professionals, fellowship trained. This is the ultimate team of doctors right here in Lubbock, Texas. People come here from all over the country to get these doctors to work on them. You can go to lubbocksportsmed.com, check them out, and you will be glad that you did. All right, Reggie Dabbs is here.
Tell him your Bob Knight story.
Yeah.
I Promise Keepers. We were here.
Yeah.
And we were doing our Thursday run through, and somebody said, "Hey, can you go to the practice gym?" And so I went, and Bobby Knight was there. And we had met a couple of times, but I knew his mom. And yeah. he knew. And so when I went in, we talked for a little bit, and I go, I need a basketball. I need an autograph. He goes, I'll get it to you. He goes, do you want it to where you can sell it? Or are you going to keep it? I said, I'm going to keep it. He goes, okay, I got you. I got you. So all of a sudden, I do the whole Promise Keeper Saturday afternoon. I'm flying out. I get to the airport. Guy comes with a bag and goes, this is from Coach Knight. So I open it up, and I look down, and the basketball is signed to my friend Reggie. Best effing speaker I've heard in my whole effing life. Love Bobby Knight. And I right there on my in my office. I love
And
it.
You know, in the 20 or 25 times he was on our show, he didn't ever one time utter one, even the little cuss words. He didn't use the little ones.
He's just great.
Much
he's
less
just,
the big ones.
Yeah, he didn't. And, it, you know, we were worried when we first had him on.
Oh, Lord.
This may not work. And now, we were afraid he'd whip us or
he
something.
He did do some gestures that
he did some gestures.
Were a little iffy, but but other than that.
That's why we love them.
I know.
It's just great, dude. Yeah. It's just great. But it was fun. It was fun.
Well, that's a pretty great story.
Oh, it's funny. It's funny. It's really good.
And you still got it on your case.
Oh,
do you
yeah.
turn it so that the effing part's not showing?
No.
Oh, you got that
right up top, man. I want everybody to read it. I was his friend. He don't do that for everybody.
No, he doesn't.
No, he doesn't.
But it's great. It's good.
Well, it's we're honored to have you in Lubbock, I can tell you, in this area. And you're in. Elisa does such a great job putting these things. She talk about a workhorse. She's a workhorse. Cool. Now, cool. Chris, her husband's kind of lazy, but Elisa is really good.
Absolutely. The ultimate game.
The ultimate game.
Let's talk more about Chris.
You want to? No, Chris is out. He's out in front of us making everything work.
Chris is right here.
Yeah, he's close. Sitting over in the corner.
Our headsets don't work, and our microphones usually don't work. But other than that, it's really good. he makes this station go, I will tell you. But the ultimate game, and it's out at Rock City. This is where McCright is the pastor out there. But he's not. That's not his deal. But it's from reachcommunity.org, and they are having something all day today. Reggie's speaking
all
at 10:30.
All day. I'll be there at 10:30 today, and I'll be there tonight. And there's like a local singing
Blackwater
group.
Draw.
Yeah.
Blackwater Draw. They're supposed to be signing a contract
did,
in Nashville.
I think they have.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
So they're going to be singing tonight. And whenever they mention them in some of the schools, kids started clapping. So I don't know, but I can't wait to meet them. They're young people, too. But
they're young.
They can sing.
No, they're
You're
from
talking about McCratch Church out there. McCratch can sing a little bit himself.
Yeah, Jeff's really good.
Yeah. He sung last night. Didn't he sing last night? Dude,
he's good.
Kenny Loggins, bro.
Yeah, it's kind of like that.
Oh, man. And I was shocked. It was really cool. He did a good job.
Yeah.
He did good. But come on, today.
And y'all, it says $25 on here to come. You just come walk in.
You know what?
You
This show will cover the bill. It's all
Put it on TNA.
Yeah. You know your cap says TNA.
I know. That's what we're going to put on the bill.
I know it. I think that's why we wanted the cap so bad.
But seriously, if you have young people who need to be encouraged, who need to find hope, hey, it's going to be awesome. If you can't come today, I think tonight around 6:30, the doors will open. And just say, hey, Reggie said I can come in.
All right, tell us some more. This morning it starts at?
This morning, I think doors are open at 10. Or 9:45, 10 o'clock.
Well, which is it, Reggie?
Let's go 10.
All right, let's go with 10.
Starts at 10
o'clock.
Yeah, and it goes all day.
So there's not a break in there. Yeah,
there's food trucks.
They're playing games.
They play games all afternoon.
Fun. It's a fun deal.
While I go watch Tennessee play Kentucky, they'll play games, and then we come back for tonight.
At what age? Event center. It's all middle school, high school.
Okay, middle school, high school.
In college, you can come out.
Yeah, college age, too.
Okay.
But so it's from middle school on up. If you're a student, come on out there and join in, you can just get some friends, bring them with you.
This is like my third one, and every time it gets bigger and bigger and bigger every time. And I'm partnering with them, so I'll be back in town doing more schools.
Yeah.
We're going to start hitting middle schools next, so you got work to do.
Oh, well, at least there's a bunch of them in Lubbock.
We're going to have fun.
Well, it'll be good. Middle schools will be a good place to hit.
And you know what we're doing? We want the next generation to know that no matter what they're going through, they can make it. We want them to find a reason to keep breathing.
Let me tell you, Ray, it's getting tougher and tougher to be a young middle school, high school with this internet and all, you know, that newfangled internet thing.
It's catching
social media.
It's just too many reasons to mess up.
You know, and they bully each other on the social media. Yeah, I mean, they make fun, you know, a group of people will get together and make fun of another person.
And just make life miserable.
Oh, it's just, and they get discouraged. And Some killed themselves.
The funny, and not funny, but the ironic thing is in our assembly programs, and you've seen it many times, it gets to the point to where I talk about how at 13, I didn't really care about life. I didn't care about it. But I was 3 a.m. I was in my bed literally crying, and my bedroom door opened. My foster care dad, I didn't even know it, saw how depressed I was. And for 2 nights, he slept by my door. And that second morning, he heard me cry at 3 a.m. and he walked in, told me that he loved me. So I use that in public schools, and I tell kids that I love them. And some people go, did they laugh at you? Did they make fun of you? No. Matter of fact, kids openly will say, I love you too, Reggie. Because it's so out of norm now to express love that when it comes, kids will jump at it.
Yeah.
So we need to make sure the right people are showing our kids love, or we can lose them to anything. So we have Amen. To do that now. So that's important. That's why the ultimate game. That's why you guys get me in schools. And it is true. You guys have gotten me in to a ton of schools. And so thank you for partnering with me. And you might as well keep going.
My pleasure.
It's mostly me, Reggie. Yeah.
You know what's the deal with the schools, which makes it really interesting, is the schools have their own schedules, and I have a schedule that I want.
You got to just jump into wherever they can put you.
And I go, they go, we'll do it at 11. I go, you can't have 11. 11's taken. And then it'll be a school, like this yesterday did not work out at all, the schedule. The travel was horrible.
But it worked out.
I mean, it worked out perfect. Yeah, it went out super, but we were a little late getting to Idaloo, but it was fine.
They were fun.
They were good. And
what did they do in the meantime? They kept doing class
and then just put them in a little bit later.
You know, Janae Cooper's the principal at Brownfield, former Red Raider basketball player. Their gym,
listen,
is phenomenal.
I ain't never, and I go around the world.
What can you possibly do in gorgeous. A gym?
Brownfield's gorgeous, is absolutely beautiful. The whole school,
it's just beautiful.
It was unbelievable.
And Zane McPherson is the coach there now, who coached at Coronado.
All right, tell me more about the gym, because to me, a gym's got a floor, and it's got walls, maybe some trophies.
Oh, yeah, it did, and they were gold.
I want sure the state championship team.
No, it's just – Now, what else do they have? It's airy, it's sunken.
The way it was laid out, the ceiling, it had big glass. So you literally walk in the lobby of the school, and if you look left – you're looking into the gym.
I like that.
And it's beautiful.
It's absolutely
beautiful.
Gorgeous.
They did it. They've done it really well. That was impressive.
And I was impressed with Plainview. You know, I'd never been into Plainview High School other than the gym, and I hate that place. And I've always hated
bad
it.
Bad memories.
And
you think?
And some good ones. I mean, and there's a Plainview alum over here. Where but their school was really pretty. For being old like it is, you walk into the main doors, and it's just a really neat school. I was impressed with them.
Plainview's got good folks.
They do.
They got good people.
And their students were awesome.
You have good people out here. Yeah. You guys are just good people. I think that's why I like hanging out.
Yeah.
There's not. You know what else you have? Restaurants.
Oh, my gosh.
Y'all got more restaurants.
And they're all full.
Churches.
Churches
and restaurants.
Hey, if everybody goes to church like you do to restaurants.
They don't.
It was Thursday, and we had to wait 40 minutes to get a table.
The churches aren't full. I'm amazed when I drop it. You know, another thing, I just want you to just address this just a little bit, your thoughts on it, because I didn't ask you when we were traveling around. But, you know, schools, Gary, when we were going to school, it's wide open. And, Chris, we were going to school. It's like prison now.
Yeah.
It is like prison. You can't get in any doors of the school. And I know they're doing it for protection, and I understand that. We can't have people coming in and shooting people.
Yeah.
But it's – how do kids react to that when they feel like they're – Yeah, they even lock the classroom doors when the bell rings. Each classroom door is locked.
Yeah. I think kids get used to it. It's just the way it is.
Yeah.
It is what
it is.
How
they live.
But the sad part, and I'm not a political dude, because I stay away from that, because that can get you in a lot of trouble. But I still
got us in trouble.
I still watch. I still watch stuff. And if we want our kids to do right, if we want our kids to learn how to live life, then we have to be the example. And watching the State of the Union, you have one group who wouldn't stand at all. You have another group who would stand every 5 minutes. You have a president who's speaking and people on that side yelling at him in the middle of his speech. What is that telling our kids?
Mm.
And so if we really want to do this, quit pointing fingers and go sit in a room by yourself and start thinking, how am I going to react that my kids won't be embarrassed? If we start living like that, I think we're going to do better. But instead, we react, we do what we got, all these things, and we're messing up for our next generation. Because there are some kids who were told, you have to watch the State of the Union. So kids were watching adults act like a bunch of fools.
Yeah,
and those are our leaders.
Yeah, then they go to the basketball games and throw stuff on the floor and scream profanities in unison. In unison.
Oh, yeah, it's that is bad, right? But what are they? What do you want? They are what we show them. So maybe we as adults need to go back to the drawing board and say, hey, before I leave my house, I don't want to do nothing today that's going to embarrass my children.
You scream at people if they cut you off in traffic?
No.
You don't?
Now my wife, that's a whole different game.
Oh, God. My wife.
Dude, y'all know what I'm talking about, too. Yeah. Don't even cuss.
She's not listening this morning. No. She?
Well, she'll be here in August. I won't say a word.
Yeah, I know it.
We will.
Yeah, you will.
We will mention it. Well, Reggie says you real profanities while you're driving.
Oh, my goodness. That's so funny. But
well,
it's
Dallas,
great.
You got a chance to yell. Because, I get there, and I'm just
Dallas is
they all know where they're going except me.
And then there's this thing they got that I never knew until 3 years ago when we moved there. It's called the Texas slide. So, like, if you're in the lane, you're in the fast lane, and that's your exit, you just kind of slide all the way over and take the exit.
Yeah.
It's the Texas slide.
Well, Reggie, I do want him to mention this before we go, because he's done – he does professional teams.
Mm-hmm.
He's like the chaplain and the
– I do motivation now.
Motivational speaker. Who do you – tell who you talk to.
I do. I work with all 32 NFL teams. So, at any given weekend, I could be with any team there. I do the – Cavaliers, the Heat, and the Lakers, and I do motivation for those.
You see Darvin Ham?
I have, yes.
He's a Red Raider.
Yeah.
He's a Red Raider. Good man.
Dude, you guys,
Raiders are everywhere.
Your football team did. Y'all came back very well. You got a good coach.
Yeah, Joey.
It's going to be all right. Yeah, you're going to be up there. And the whole thing is
we got Grant McCaslin too, who's from Baylor.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
And we got really good coaches.
That's where it
starts. Good people.
Coaches make kids stay.
Yep.
So don't worry about the portal and all that stuff. And I just because the whole D1 thing, I'm getting back into it. I'm on the board of trustees at Oral Roberts University. And this is like my second year. And I'm on the athletic committee. So I had to learn all that. Bro, it's a lot now. It is a lot. It's amazing, but it's
one of our favorite guests of all time. Used to be our track coach here, Corky Oglesby, grew up next door to Oral Roberts.
Okay.
And he said they would go over there and they would cut with pink and shears those prayer towels out of sheets and send them out to people. But
that's funny. Yeah. That's funny. But yeah, I enjoy it. I'm enjoying it. They have great programs at ORU.
Yeah.
And you know, they made it last year to the College World Series. And handled themselves really well. So it's kind of cool.
Yeah.
So I found out, and I'll give you one more thing, because we did it in schools this time. I got a hold of a letter from a SEAL, a Navy SEAL, to his unborn son. And he ended up passing away in battle. So this letter was to his son is all his son and his wife had from him. The end of that letter I used in almost every school that we were at, and I want to use it before we go to a break and I have to leave. This dad was going to leave the next day. His wife was 7 months pregnant. He knew it was a boy, and he wrote to his son. He started the letter, "Live your life that the fear of death can never enter your heart." That's deep. And he ended it with this: "When it comes your time to die, do not be like those who beg and plead for another day to live their life a different way. Instead, sing your song, and I will greet you on the other side. P.S. Your life is the song."
Wow. That's good.
So literally what we were telling kids this week in schools was every day, no regrets. Every day, do the best that you can. Every morning, say, "Let today be my best day." And at night, lay your head on the pillow and goes, "I hope I did my best." But if you start out wanting to do your best, you will end the day doing your best. So I think that's something that we all need.
We all need
it. So let's just take that.
Man, you're the greatest. You really are. We're so glad you're here. And hey, I got a text back at the end of February, and I said, I promise. Forgive me for not responding. I forgot to get back to you, and then I forgot it was there. But Sid Chance, they love you. And his wife, Hilda, she was at a conference last time you were here.
Okay, yeah.
Brought some kids out there. But they may show up again today, and I hope they will. because they're great people and they'd love to just help. But it's out at the Ultimate Game out at Rock City Event Center on 4th and Frankfurt. And just come on. Don't
come on.
Worry
doors
about
are about
money.
To open
just
right
come
now.
Come on.
Come on.
And you can do it.
All right. Come on, young people. I'll see you guys next time. Can you I come back again?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Reggie right. Dabbs.
Absolutely.
For sure.
What'd buddy. You say, August?
Yeah, August.
Back in August.
Yeah. Come on, yeah.
We're look forward
here.
To
let's
it.
Do it.
All right. We'll be back with more.
Sports Talk conversations with a good laugh mixed in. This is the Sports Talk with Thetford and Ashby podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
I got more, but Cardinal Sports Center's one. Y'all all familiar with Cotoni Cardinal and Cardinal Sports Center. Just they're out there on Slide Road and just outside the Loop, and they've got everything sports. Plus, they got like fashion stuff. I mean, like for women.
You like fashion stuff.
I don't, but okay. The women do. They got earrings and they got everything. It's a pretty amazing store. It really is. Go see them.
Well, all these caps are from Cardinal Sports Center.
Yeah, that's where we get our caps.
My shirt under here is Cardinal Sports Center. So, anyway, real quickly, I want to tell the Greg Swindell story before I forget it. And I was hoping he was here with you so you could share it with him. But I take my tech team down there in 85, and we didn't have lights up here, and y'all had lights down there. And we go down there, and we're playing at night, and Swindell's pitching. And they strike us out. So we get in there toward the end of the game. It's like the eighth inning, and he's got – I started counting them. There were 20 Ks up there. Somebody was keeping the Ks up there on the deal, and there's 20 of them. And I went over to Coach Gustafson, and I said, Coach, I said, did they bring all those Ks, or are they making them as we go? I go, because if they brought that many, that's embarrassing. Now, if they're making them as we go, that's a whole other deal. But he struck out 20 of us that night. Under the lights.
Well, he struck out 511 in his career in 3 years.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
I mean, as good of players that they've been across the country, well, they did a thing a few years ago where they put together the greatest college baseball team of all time. And, you know, they had a bunch of us on a committee to look at it, and we looked at a lot of numbers. He was the greatest left-hander in college baseball history.
The greatest in college baseball history.
Ben McDonald was the right-hander. Now, I thought it was Bert Hooten. And, you
know, there's
a
good one.
And I got a bunch of votes in. And I know they looked at me probably with a little orange blood.
Yeah.
But if you go back with if you have a 1.13 ERA for your college career, 1.13, you're pretty good.
Yeah, you're pretty good.
Who was it Garcia matched up with that time?
And it was Bert Hooten.
Bert Hooten and Garcia, like 11 innings, and they both threw complete games, wound up 1-0.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who?
But it's not important who. It's just a great game.
A great game.
Somebody scored on a pass ball, I think.
Yeah.
How'd they get on? That's the weird question.
Yeah, how in the world they get on?
How did they get on?
I spent a lifetime trying to steal first base. It had to be done.
All right, Griff, you said you had a good story here.
I've got a wonderful story about Keith because he won't tell it, but I want to share it. When we were sophomores, we'd come back after Christmas break, and we were still over at Clark Field.
Yeah.
And we had the trainer for us was the head trainer. His name was Frank Medina, and he was a small, hard-nosed guy. I mean, his first words were, I hope you guys ran some over the Christmas holiday, but it didn't matter because it wasn't going to be enough, you know, and then here we go. Well, through the course of the conditioning stuff, I think Keith had some respiratory issues of some sort, and it prevented him probably from completing a lot of the tasks.
That's a great analogy. He put it in the best I just finished playing in the Cotton Bowl.
Yeah, and he was looking for a break, and he'd come to the wrong place. But so, Coach Medina was exasperated with Keith. And the story goes that he went to see Coach Gus as the preseason was getting started, and he says, "You got to get rid of that Moreland guy. He's a dog." He said he's a dog. You just got to get rid of him. And Coach Gus just raised his hand and stopped him. He said, "Frank, I'm gonna stop you right there." He said, "Look, I can find a trainer wherever I can look. I can't find me an All-American third baseman." Within a week, we had a new trainer.
Oh, you're kidding.
Spanky Stevens.
Right? Yeah, Spanky Stevens came on and was the trainer for a number of years for the baseball team. He was He was Frank Medina's assistant, and they just moved him over. But I thought that was a classic story. You can find a trainer.
I
can't find another All-American third baseman.
kind of overstepped there, didn't
just
he?
Just a tad.
Yeah. You know, and I feel bad about it. And I'm looking at my teammates thinking, you know, that they think I'm doing it. But I'm literally 3 days before he was running me around with weights on my deal. He had knew I played football, and he thought, well, you're going to lead. I just finished playing the game, and I got to play, you know, I was a backup, played on special teams in the game. We got beaten up by Nebraska, but then the position I played, strong safety, our guy got hurt early by Tony Davis, which was a great running back. So I played a lot of snaps in the game, and we got beat. I get back home. These guys have already – I missed the first day.
Yeah.
So this is the second day. I've heard in the locker room is, oh, man, they're all just moaning. I'm going – Well, I surely ain't gonna have to do this.
Don't they know who I am?
He goes out there and he straps ankle weights around me, and I made a decision right there. It's either gonna be Frank or me.
And Keith won.
Yeah, I won that one.
Did y'all play at Clark Field?
Yes.
Oh yeah.
Oh
okay.
Man, that was right. I loved playing there because they had a short, about 290, 280 down the right field line, short right field fence, and as a lefty. That played into my skill set, albeit limited as it was.
Well, you remember we practiced there for the state championship high school games. We practiced there, but that's the only time. In fact, we played the very first Southwest Conference night game at Dish Falk. Tech did.
Yes, you did.
And obviously, y'all did, but Tech did. Mm-hmm. And so we never got to play at Clarkville, got to practice there. And that was really unique place to play.
You know, that year we had a special – We lost the last conference game of the year, Gary. We were, what was it? We played, 16?
We were 23-1.
Yeah, 23-1.
We lost the last.
Last one, Aggies beat us the last game of that three-game series.
Clint Thomas pitch?
No, we beat Clint.
We beat him in the first game.
Yeah, we beat him earlier in the day.
Beat David Lockett in the second.
Yeah, And then their little catcher, they called him Radar. I can't remember what his name was, hit one to the football stadium off of, I think, Don Kiner, a little freshman pitcher we had. But that was probably a good wake-up call because we went into the regionals, walked through that, and then set us up for a good run at Omaha that year.
Y'all went to Omaha, how many times during three?
Either as a player or a coach or a broadcaster, I've been 14 times.
Oh, wow. But a player three times?
All 3 years.
All 3 years as a player.
That's what I was thinking. Now
all 3 years as a coach.
That's hard to pull that off.
Won it once?
We just won it once.
Yeah.
We couldn't get through USC until that
Dado.
Third year.
It's pretty amazing.
Well, they won six in a row, I think.
Yeah, Mike Gustin just sent us that Ruben Garcia threw 185 pitches in that game.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable. Kids they wouldn't even know what to do.
Nobody
with that.
Did pitch counts then.
Yeah.
I mean, you didn't have radar guns. You didn't have pitch counts. And kids threw. I mean, one of the things that we talk about all the time, and if you're a parent out there, the best way to build arm strength for your kid is have them throw each and every day. Now, throwing mechanically properly and doing some stretching out and long toss, but throwing every day will build arm strength more than any of these other drills with bands and everything. Good Lord, put us on here. Just play catch, and playing catch will get your arm, build your arm strength.
Y'all remember Alan Ramirez? Mm-hmm. He threw 200 and something pitches, and I think it was against Texas.
That was a game we were playing them. He pitched for Rice in Houston, and there was I was DHing that game against him, and he was having trouble finding the strike zone. So I go up there, and you had Coach Gus' sign was if he looked at you and you looked back, that was a take sign. Well, I was stupid enough to keep looking at the dugout. Keith and those guys would
they wouldn't even look over there.
I was the Boy Scout, so I would look in there. First pitch, take. Second pitch, take. Third pitch, take. It's 3-0. Fourth pitch, take a strike. Fifth pitch, take a strike. So with 3-2, he gives me the take sign. 3-2.
Yeah.
And Alan throws it up on the screen, I think. Thank goodness. Well, I said, well, I guess I'm just doing what the coach tells me to do. So I just kind of just sat there.
We had another marvelous player that played with us telling stories named Rick Bradley.
Yeah.
And he was in our freshman class. I mean, outstanding player.
Yes.
I mean, we don't win a national championship without him.
Right.
And Rick would get so frustrated in the on deck, so he batted right behind me in our junior year, and he just how do you do that? How do you do? I said, well, don't look.
Just don't look.
You know, just get the 2-0 sweater you deal, and then don't look. And I never – I'm telling you, he was right behind me. If I turned this way, I knew I was – I'd just stay in the box, get ready to go. I'm ready to hit. And so I did. And so, Rick, sure enough, that very game, gets 2-0. We're a little bit of a tight game. He doesn't look 2-0, and Rick laces it into left center for a double. I score, and Blair score in front of him. And we, a two-run double. Everybody's excited, home plate. Cliff called time out.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
He says, you got to turn and look at me for the signs. And Rick looked at me like this. I said, Rick, just keep hitting. Just keep hitting. He ain't going to take you out of the line if you just keep hitting. Yeah.
Marlon told me not to look.
Yeah, that's right.
He didn't throw you under the bus. Yeah. You know?
There was a. I don't want to say this because Keith won't say this, but I can. I can be objective. I had a great viewing from the bench. I had the best viewpoint of any, absolutely the best hitter with men on I've ever been around in all my. He was a killer. I mean, with men on, he was tough. And I don't know how many times, especially late innings, the lead would flip because of Keith hitting one in the gap for two runs or whatever.
Well, I read a quote from Cliff saying that when you left UT that he should be on a major league lineup in 2 years.
Yeah.
In 2 years. Well, that's, you know, that true? Yeah, how many years did it take?
I was a little longer than that. I was playing behind it. I was a third baseman, and they had to find a new position. But the guy in front of me was 3.5 years older, named Mike Schmidt. He already had 100 home runs.
Mike Schmidt, I remember him.
So he, you know, and he's in Cooperstown. So, yeah, they moved positions for me. And in that time, also, too, guys, there were so many minor leagues and so many different aspects of the minor leagues. It's harder to get a chance to play pro ball now than it used to be. But if they draft you and they think you can play, you got a quicker path to get there now than you do in the years past.
Yeah.
That way, because they don't spend as much time because the Phillies, when I signed, had two rookie ball teams, two A ball teams, mm-hmm. a double A and a triple A, and then they had extended spring, which is for the guys that didn't break with any of those clubs and they're trying to figure out where they were going to put them. So they had 200 people in their minor league system. Now most organizations will have more than 60.
Yeah.
I mean, just think of it. There's more, less than 60 minor league players in every organization.
So are they paying them better than that?
There are more than that.
Well, they've shut down. There's not all the all the leagues are very
like,
small.
Like yeah. 1A, 1AA, 1AAA now.
That's amazing.
They're very, very small leagues. Now, there's a lot of independent baseball where guys are still trying to make it, and they're playing independent ball. And,
yeah.
And then, you know, South Atlantic and some other leagues across the yeah. country. But
they kind of get them on to what they get on with life.
Yeah. Well, it's
you just want to play as long as you can. Yeah, when you've been a ball player, you want to play.
Yeah. You want to give it a shot. And I was, you know, the good Lord blessed me with that opportunity. I mean, I didn't get injured. I mean, I played with a lot of guys that didn't play in the big leagues. That I look at it and go, how did he not make it? And yeah. I don't know the answer to that. I mean, it's hard work and luck and a lot of different things, but, you know, I was blessed.
Yep.
Interesting fact. Keith and I were talking about this morning on the way over. Started with the Phillies, got traded to the Cubs. The Cubs traded him to the Padres, and the exchange, the two guys that he was traded for were Goose Gossage and Ray Hayward.
Wow. Ray Hayward, how about that? Yeah. Yeah. That's cool.
So that's kind of an insider. Yeah.
Ray was going to be on the show today, but Ray's had some vocal
issues.
Vocal
yeah.
issues.
Yeah, I wish him the best. Hope he gets better.
It's amazing. He's still with us.
It is yeah. a miracle. He's still around. It is. And what a treasure he is. My gosh, he's a
hell
good
yeah.
man. Love the guy.
Without a doubt.
I was peeking in our booth trying to look over and see if he was sitting where I normally occasionally see him sitting, but I didn't see
he
him.
He was sitting on the front row right behind home plate. Oh, so well,
then – he was brave enough to get out there in that cold last night because, yeah. folks, it was cold.
He was there the first three innings. I left after three innings and went upstairs so yeah. with Griff.
Yeah.
And the
I
other
was
folks.
Watching as long as I could take it, and I finally changed. I can't do this anymore.
Yeah.
I just can't.
Robinson, and you know, I Robinson last night, just the first time that I've seen him, I saw him a little bit and just on TV, but last night he was having trouble getting the ball down.
Yeah.
I mean, getting down in the zone. And even in all levels now, once you get to the college level, you cannot pitch at the belt and get away with it. I don't care if you got 96, 95. These hitters are, you know, they got aluminum bats. They're going to get on top of it. They work a lot on quickness and what they're doing with launch angle and everything else. You just can't – you've got to pitch down, mm-hmm. I mean, and change speeds. And if you can't do that and your change speeds, you saw in LBJ last night for Texas, which is – I've seen him a couple times be outstanding. He could not get his breaking ball – over the plate, and he's out of the game, and just got one. It got lopsided early enough that Texas was able to hold on in that scenario because Red Raiders were getting.
You know, when it was six, I think it was 16-5 or something, and I was about to call it a night, but Tech had bases loaded. I thought, you know what, we're one fly ball to right.
Mm-hmm. That's what it is.
Let it blow out.
Yeah,
and we've got a ball game. You know, this thing's not over. 16-5. Mm-hmm. So
Ace Whitehead came in, and he has been that constant in his 3 years. He's not a guy that gets the ball very often, but he's been the one guy that comes in and throws strikes, keeps it down. And he's done that, and that's the third different time he's come into a game that he has just given his team exactly what he wanted. He's going to give up some runs because the guys are going to get to him because he's not going to be overpowered, but he's not going to walk.
But sometimes that's all you need is strikes.
Yeah, that's exactly
if you'll
right.
just please throw strikes, then we've got us a chance.
It ought to be
here.
Interesting again today. I expect – I just know Tim well enough that they'll be ready to go when they get there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no doubt about that. Coach, I mean, when we were at the Texas basketball game, when we behaved so good, we're sitting up there by Kent Hance. Kent Hance at the end says, well, nothing cleanses a soul like a good ass kicking. And we got it that night.
And nothing brings out the worst in a Red Raider than the Longhorns.
Oh, my gosh.
So we did. We did sort of show our.
Did you notice that, Keith?
You know, I love the rivalries, and I'd be the first one. I've said it. I don't know how much longer that ESPN and everybody else will let me continue to do some broadcasting here if they allow me to do it, because Mark and our age, we got a number in front of it now that I didn't wasn't sure I'd get to. I'll put it that way. It starts it. And so I don't know what they're going to do, but on that end, but I'm going to miss Red Raiders.
You've been listening to the Sports Talk with Thetford and Ashby podcast from Double T 97.3. Catch the show live Saturday mornings from 9 to noon on Double T 97.3 FM or on the Double T 97.3 mobile app.